reverse.
Show's over, guys. I was
like, outro.
You know it's been a long day when I play the outro first.
Reverse.
All right, what's going on, folks? Welcome back to another episode of Serious Angler. Powered always by our friends at X2 Power. All in shambles now. Good Lord.
Backed up so fast, Bailey.
It's good it's a Monday, man. We're usually going live on Tuesday, but we didn't want to go Tuesday because tomorrow's Halloween.
Yeah, it's been, what, 350 episodes or so since we've been on Monday Night Live?
It's been a long time. We used to be on Mondays for the OGs that remember. Yeah. I mean, our guest today, Matt Becker, the first time he was on, I believe, was a Monday Night Live. And that was like, I think we were under the hundreds at that point, I think. But yeah, it's been a long time since we've been on a Monday Night Live. We've done some Monday Night Lives like with fantasy fishing stuff, but we haven't actually had like a, you know, concerted effort, you know, angler interview on a Monday night. But it's actually going to be a wild week for us because we're doing Monday Night Live and we're doing Wednesday Night Live. So it's going to be an interesting one for you guys this week. And it is for good reason. So obviously Halloween's coming up and what we'll do, we'll lay it out for you guys. Wednesday night, we're going live. We're actually going to have some guests. We're going to have a few guests. The first two are the important two of the night in that they're going to have some folks on from Project Purple, who are concerted all of their efforts towards raising money and such towards pancreatic cancer, towards fighting the good fight. And so with that, Wednesday Night Live, we got a bunch of stuff going on. We're going to have them on to talk about it, but also to announce a giveaway with them. We're partnering with them for the month of November to try to raise money. We're going to give away a crap ton of stuff for you guys, a lot of big prizes. And basically, all you got to do to get in on it is donate some money towards Project Purple. And we'll have a whole link and everything. You guys can go anywhere from a couple bucks to however much that you want to put towards that effort. But it's going to be for a great cause. We encourage you all to get in on it. You can win a 100 amp X2 power lithium battery. And there's a lot more where that came from. But that's, we'll kind of, you know, prelude some of it. So there's a lot of big prizes at stake. So we encourage you guys to get in, and obviously it's for a good cause. So we'll give you guys more information on that this week on social media, but Wednesday Night Live, 8 p.m. Eastern. Make sure you guys get there and join in on that. We'll run that from November 1st, which is Wednesday, which is why we're having it on Wednesday night. First until, I believe it's that Monday or Wednesday of Thanksgiving week. But it's like from the 1st to the 21st, I think.
Yeah,
either way. Right. Yeah, either way, we'll put that all out there for you guys. We'll have links down in the bio and everything. You guys can get on that. But looking forward to that show. Looking forward to tonight's show. Having our boy, Mr. Matt Becker, on, the BPT Angler of the Year. And before we do, speaking of Becker, another fellow member of the Bass Fishing Electronics team, they're running a crap ton of sales early for Black Friday. Specifically, like he mentioned, the new lineup of Minn Kota motors flying off the shelves, that Ultrex Quest, anywhere from HDS Lives to Active Targets, Live Scope bundles, things like that. Pretty hefty sale. So if you want to get electronics, trolling motors, things like that, Ghost trolling motors as well. He's got a bunch of sales going on. The links are always down in the description where you guys can go and take advantage of that. I know some people might be packing up for the year, but it is a great time to save money for next year. And if you're not putting the boat away, even better, you can just go and upgrade now. And avoid the Black Friday rush. Last but not least, the giveaway. There's two giveaways today. We announced it on social this morning, and if you listen to Biz from the Bass Boat, it was announced there. Rec Lending is doing a pretty big giveaway towards anglers, and it's pretty damn easy to get involved. We'll put the link down in here as well.
There's what, $10,000 in prizes and cash prizes,
And prizes, some big money and some pretty dang cool stuff that you can win. And it's basically all it is you fill out like a little form. If you guys don't know Rec Lending, it's for your boat financing. It's a great episode. There's some really good information in there for if you currently own a boat or are looking to own a boat. I encourage you to listen to those Biz from the Bass Boat episodes with the folks at Rec Lending. And that one's, we'll be posting that one for a while. That giveaway actually runs until January 6th, I believe, of 24. So you've got a lot of time to get on that, but we'll let you guys know. But yeah, a lot of opportunities for you guys to win some stuff. They all came on one day.
Fantastic.
Oh, yeah. But, Andy, I think without further ado, let's get our guest down here tonight. He's been traveling all over the freaking country. Mr. Matt Becker. What's going on, dude?
What's up, guys? Hey, yeah, like you said, we've been in the truck for a while this month, so it's nice to finally be stationary and finally be home.
Yeah. You said you put, like, what, 8,000 miles in the truck, something like that?
Yeah, I think we're just under 8,000 miles since October 3rd. We left the house October 3rd. So I got my truck serviced the day before we left, and it's due for an oil change already. And
slightly. Slightly due.
Yeah.
See, some people don't even have to get an oil change in a year, but you did, like, in the span of 2 months.
Yeah, no, 1 month.
One month. Okay. October not even 3rd, 1 month, like 27 yeah. or 28 days.
Yeah, so we went from Tennessee as far west as Las Vegas, as far northwest, I guess, as Denver, and then back to all the way to Pittsburgh for this past weekend, went to the Steelers game, and then back to Tennessee this morning. So it was a whole tour of the world, of the country anyway.
Yeah, no kidding. Sounds like you need to try and get yourself that Valvoline instant oil change sponsorship so you can be rocking that.
You know, the last time I was in Valvoline, the guys working there brought it up. They're like, we got to hook you up and sponsor you somehow. And I was like, hey, like, I'm open, you know, let's talk. But, you know, I feel like that'd be a corporate gig, not, you know, the local shop. But I'm going to go visit them again this week and try and bring it up again for sure.
Hey, I'm back. Hopefully I drove 8,000 just so I can come back here. There you go. Dude, that might be one of the cooler, like, essential sponsors, I think. I think one that comes to mind is, like, Hunter Shryak when he was with Pilot.
Yeah.
Like, stuff that just makes sense for you.
I know. I love the Love's Truck Stop, and that's always that's like an ideal sponsor for me because like they're all over the country, and like you're always driving and traveling, stopping in there, and they have all the stuff you need.
Does Love sponsor anybody?
I know they do NASCAR. That's like where I got the idea. I've seen it on a car before, so like they're in.
Oh, that makes sense.
Into sponsoring stuff, but as far as fishermen, you know, I feel like it's just a different market, and I don't know. It'd be harder to sell, but I mean, it's probably doable.
Yeah, yeah, great wrap on a bass boat, bright yellow and a big old pink shirt that says Loves. Yeah.
Just big Loves right down the side. I mean, I would rock it for sure. Trade them for a gas card.
Yeah,
you can have some fun because you're with you have Favorites, your title, right?
Yeah,
Favorite Loves.
You can have Matt Becker Fishing Loves Favorite Routes.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah, genius. Perfect.
yep you should be a marketing guy there, Bailey.
Yeah what do you know.
Yeah, so we're all caught up on all the podcasts in the bass fishing world, and it was a good time to be driving because I got to listen to a whole bunch of opinions and a whole bunch of drama going on here lately.
Yeah, you probably got through everything. You're probably diving some deep into some old Joe Rogan if you're driving 8,000 miles.
Yeah, we got deep into some stuff, but it helps pass the time, that's for sure.
No kidding. Well, dude, we got to talk. We're going to talk about a bunch of stuff today. You know, obviously with the new changes, things like that, catching up with you. Obviously, since won another dang event this year and Angler of the Year, it's freaking huge for you, man. You decide, oh, okay, I'm going to make the PPT and then just, you know, win every damn thing you can in the team besides Red Crest. Yeah, huge year for you, man. We're pumped for you.
It was a special year for sure. You know, I mean, even looking back from the time that I qualified and as soon as I seen the schedule for this year, like I knew I liked it and like, you know, I felt comfortable at like the majority of the fisheries. I've been to some of them and fished them in prior years around the same time. So like, as soon as I seen the schedule, I was super excited. And, you know, I can't believe the way it worked out throughout the year and to finish the year the way that it did, you know, the last day of the season to be battling it out with some of the biggest names in the sport. And then to win the tournament over Kevin and win Angler of the Year over, you know, the two other guys that were battling out there with Wheeler and Ott Defoe. I mean, it's just a crazy end to the season. And, I'm glad it worked out in our favor. That's for sure.
Yeah, you definitely like. I feel like a lot of the the hot topic was, you know, Ottefoe, Wheeler, people going for the angle of the year race. And then you're like, I'm just going to sneak in. Like, it's when people are fighting, you just sneak by and get what they're trying to get. That's exactly what will happen.
Yeah, that's kind of how it felt, too. You know, I kind of felt like I was kind of sneaking under the radar a little bit. Really, because, I mean, rightfully so. I was in fourth place heading into the last tournament, and I was really the last man mathematically possible to win Angler of the Year. So,
win it.
Basically. Yeah, basically, I had to win. And even if I won, you know, Wheeler still could have finished fourth place and won Angler of the Year. So it was really in their hands, and I just had to do everything I could. And, you know, it just worked out exactly how it was supposed to, I guess.
All right, I got to ask you this. So I love that you won, and because I consider you a buddy. I love seeing you at events and everything like that. I was happy for you for the win. But did a small part of you feel a little bit guilty of beating KVD for the storybook ending?
Yeah, I would say like just a tiny little sliver of me felt bad for ruining his retirement party. I mean, he had probably 30 to 40 family members there at the event after we were done fishing, the trophy ceremony. I mean, he had the whole crew there, and it was definitely his retirement party. And I don't know. I guess the fishing gods had other plans for us that we were supposed to take him down that day. But, you know, I even got messages after that, and people were like, you should have let him win. And, you know, how dare you take him down on his final day? I'm like, you know, we're all competitors out here. Like, the way, like, that's not how it works. You know, Kevin would never want that anyway. No. Like, he would be so mad if somebody let him win the final tournament.
He'd be like, take the trophy back. Let's do it again.
Yeah, exactly. And
run the day over again. Let's go.
But it was cool. So after the whole trophy ceremony was over, we got to talk for a little bit, and he was super cool about it. You know, he was just a little bummed, I would say, but.
Yeah, anybody that finishes second, you know.
Yeah. But, yeah, the whole time, you know, I was thinking, this is my chance for, you know, the average guy to get back at Van Dam from all the times he's Van Dam people. So I'm like,
he's Van Dam, Van Dam.
Yeah.
He's won enough.
Yeah.
I feel like anybody that lets him win, that's like disrespectful to him. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. That would be straight disrespectful. And, you know, that was even one of the questions that, like, Ricky Bodsford for Bass 365, he asked in the morning. He always does a question before takeoff, and he went around to the top 10, and he was like, it comes down to the, you know, the last period of the day, and you got a little lead on Kevin. Would you lay up? And, like, everyone was like, absolutely not, you know.
Yes. He would never lay up for me.
No, that's exactly right. He would never do it. Right. Yeah. So
you're like, oh, Matt Becker, it's your retirement party. Yeah, take this 30 bomb.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's pretty cool though. I mean, for you, I feel like at the end of your rookie season, that, I mean, what a way, man. You know, to be the GOAT, win Angler of the Year, second event, trophy of the year. What a way to cap off.
Yeah.
And let's get some of the shenanigans out of the way, because there's been some comments.
Oh, even, of course there's been comments, right?
Yes. Can never get away with them. Let's get it out of the way, because we got defender boy here.
Yeah.
Talk about the Cayuga event from your point of view.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's the thing is, you know, people see something on social media and think that they know the truth, or they were there and know exactly what happened. And you really have to go back and look at the whole story and the way it all played out to really understand what happened. You know, so let's go back to the whole thing. You know, at the beginning of the year, we go over the entire rule book at the first meeting. And, you know, of course, this rule of sight fishing is very popular. You know, everyone wants to talk about this rule of sight fishing. So we went over this rule multiple times at the first tournament of the year. And, you know, I understood it exactly the way that it was enforced up until the St. Clair event when they changed the tournament or changed the rule. But anyway, that's besides the point. The rule was understood prior to the tournament. But let's fast forward to the Cayuga tournament. We get there. And obviously it's in June, they're smallmouth spawning. So we all knew it, but the conditions were pretty bad in practice to find them. So it was super windy.
You're fishing the Armageddon is what you're in.
Yeah.
It was smoky and orange. How could you see in that?
Like, I know it, that was so weird. And looking back, like looking at some of the old videos of that, that was super crazy. Like, It was spooky just being out there. Like, you couldn't see across the lake, and it was just like an orange glow everywhere. I mean, that was a spooky tournament for sure. Just a weird time for sure.
Yeah, real fast interject. I was at a media event at Oneida when you guys were fishing that, and it was straight up like we woke up one morning. We had people from all over the country that were there for that. And they're like, should we be fishing right now? Should we be outside? Like, because you pull up the air quality and it says like hazardous or dangerous.
I know.
I canceled a guide trip because of that, because I like literally couldn't breathe while I was outside. I'm like, I'm not doing this for another day in a row. Like, absolutely no way.
And then you'd come in after fishing all day and take your hoodie off or whatever, and it smelled like smoke. Like, you're sitting next to the campfire. It's like, holy crap, you know.
Tasting it for like a week after.
Yeah, I know, breathing it, coughing it. But anyway, so going through that tournament, you know, like I said, practice was super windy. It was hard to find them. You know, not a whole lot of guys were looking at the smallmouth at the start of the tournament, which is, that's a whole nother story. We're not even going to get into that part of it. But so we go out our first day of competition, and you know, I had, you know, about 7 smallmouth found. I went and caught my 5 biggest ones and just kind of left them be. But during that time, there was one fish in particular that I wanted to stop and catch. And I actually drove my boat by this same angler that was set up on this same fish 3 different times as I was trying to pull in and catch this fish. So that kind of raised my eyebrows a little bit. And I was like, well, you know, let me double check again with the tournament director. So, you know, after that first day of competition, I went and talked with Daniel Fennell about it. And I was like, hey, like, I saw this on the water today. Like, I just want to make sure again, you know, I already understood the rule, but I want to make sure that this is cool. I saw this was happening on the water. And he was like, absolutely 100%. You can only catch a fish one time visibly looking at it, but if you're not visibly looking at the fish, you could catch that fish 100 times in the same day if you wanted. So I'm like, okay, that's understood. You know, that that's how the playing field that we're going with. So this was my first day of competition that I saw this and cleared this with the tournament director. So obviously the video that everyone's seen and the accusations of me happened in the knockout round day. So that's 3 days later from when this happened. But so that whole situation, you know, I had my milk run of about 7 fish that were all quality fish. So I went and caught those. And when I caught, so let me back up. When I pulled into my first fish in the morning, my boat official came up on the front deck of my boat. He walked up right next to me. He said, listen, I talked to Daniel Fennell this morning. I just want to make sure that you understand. I know the rule. He's like, if you want to come back and catch any of these fish again, you 100% can. You just cannot visibly look at it. And I was like, okay, mm-hmm. I understand. I knew that. So we're just going to go about our day. I don't want to do that. You know, it's not like I'm trying to catch the same fish 5 times, but if I need to competitively, it's permitted. I got from the tournament director and from my boat official, who's in the boat enforcing the rules, both approved this prior to even doing anything or even thinking about it. So fast forward throughout the knockout round, you know, I catch all my milk run of fish, and, again, I see plenty of other competitors in the top 10 that are ahead of me in the standings. I drove my boat by them trying to stop and catch the fish that they were on, set up on a fish 2, 3, 4 times throughout the day. So in my mind, I'm thinking, everybody's doing this. Like, I'm about to get beat. because I'm trying not to do this. So like, oh, mm-hmm. let's go, you know, I got a fish I can go catch again and upgrade me a few ounces. I know it's legal per the rules. I've cleared it with the tournament director, with my boat official. So it is not even a question of cheating. It is playing it by the rules we're given that week. You know, no gray area. It's either against the rules or it's not. You know, there's no gray area. They both approved it, tournament director and boat official. So I went and caught another fish again, and it upgraded me just a few ounces, but that was enough to sneak into the knockout round.
That's got to be – you probably had a lot of internal conflict in your brain when that boat official or tournament director gave you that specific – ruling.
Yeah, I mean, everybody knew it wasn't you know, the best situation, but as competitors, like, you have to try everything you can and fish the rules to compete. I mean, I'm a competitor. I'm going to do every single thing I can to better myself and to compete within the rules. And as long as that tournament director and or boat official approves what I'm doing, that's all that matters to me. It's clear. It's black. It's white. You know, there's no gray area. It's either against the rules or it's not against the rules. And it's as simple as that.
Yeah. With the way people have acted or commented,
yeah,
on that event, would you have changed anything if you knew that was how it's going to be going into that event again? Does that make sense?
No, probably not. I would do the same thing over again. I mean, absolutely. Like, there was nothing against the rules. I don't think it was handled the best from MLF standpoint, from a media standpoint, from certain individuals on social media that want to call people out for things they don't know. I won't mention any names, but we all know who we're talking about. Mm-hmm. So like obviously it was a bad deal for everybody involved, for the league, for the sport, for the individuals. But at the end of the day, you know, no rules were broken. So to accuse me personally of cheating when the tournament director approved everything, the boat official approved everything, that's just completely false and outrageous, you know? So I've kind of just stayed quiet and just kind of let it blow over just because there's nothing I can do, you know?
Yeah. And I think
people are going to hate no matter what I say or what I do, you know, and when I, you know, you explain it like this, people are still going to be like, oh, he's just lying or he's just hiding or whatever, you know, but it is what it is.
Yeah. And I'm sure going into this upcoming season, I would hope like one that they would change, alter the rule so that they don't put you guys in that situation again.
Oh, that's been adjusted. Yeah. So that was adjusted immediately after the tournament. That was a priority before that tournament was even over. That was in the works.
Right. Rule change. Do you guys vote yes?
Yeah. Cause I feel like it was like whoever wrote that was just horribly written in regards to. One, I feel like it just put you guys in a bad spot where it's your job is to compete, but you're also conservationist and you're like, is this the right thing to do? But at the end of the day, if you're watching your money getting taken from you, I can understand it, but.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard for people who aren't in the sport to understand it, you know, like when this is my job, this is my livelihood and I'm still fairly young into my career and I'm basing a lot of my salary on tournament winnings. You know, I'm not making a huge salaries from sponsors. So I am still banking on catching them in the tournaments and, you know, banking on cash and checks. So to make a top 10 is a big deal for me and Brittany and our family. So it definitely makes you want to use every advantage you can and study the rules and make sure you know what's right and what's wrong, what's against the rules and what's legal. And I pride myself in knowing that and making sure. And, you know, I'm constantly calling Daniel Fennell and clarifying things, just making sure this is good, this isn't, you know, we're always having that conversation. And, you know, just to see people accusing me of cheating over catching the same fish one time throughout the tournament when it was 100% legal, or questioning my integrity or any of that, when literally I caught one fish two times throughout the entire year, one tournament day. And never have I ever even thought about cheating in a tournament or doing anything like that. You know, this is all I do. I eat, sleep, and breathe bass fishing. So I would never, ever risk anything that would jeopardize my career. So, like, just people that think, like, you're always out there trying to get someone or, you know, trying to cheat is just outrageous, you know.
Yeah.
But that's social media nowadays. Everybody knows. Everybody has an opinion, and people who weren't there weren't even understanding what was happening that week just want to come out and comment that you're a cheater. So,
yeah, I don't even know if you can blame social media for it. I think it's just general humanity in itself is always just kind of looking to point the finger and blame something on someone when they have no idea what's truly going on.
Yeah, so. Right. And so in my eyes, like I said, the tournament director is my boss that week. If he tells me I can do something, it is 100% legal. Not even a question in my mind. You know, I don't like what somebody watching from Alabama thinks does not matter to me when I am in New York at the tournament and the tournament director told me to do it. So that's just my stance on it. And like I said, I would never do anything to jeopardize my career. This is my dream. Like I'm living out my dream, getting to catch bass for a living. So I would never even think about doing anything that would jeopardize that career. So,
yeah. Well, and so there's two things that we'll conclude with this, because we definitely don't want this to be the premise of the show, because we've talked to you for a long time. We know you're a good dude and you're from the Northeast. We're Northeasterners too. We know guys that their word carries a lot of weight. And if they speak highly of you, that carries a lot of weight.
Yeah.
So we know for a fact you had all the good intentions, and I love the fact that the rules been changed, so this won't be an issue for you guys putting you guys in that spot moving forward.
This it'll never be an issue again. And like you said, that, you know, it is what it is. You know, people are always gonna try to attack you and bring you down and all that. You know, it's
like
social media. But I seen things with my eyes that went down on the water on that tournament that I could bring to social media and really hurt some people's reputations, but I'm better than that. You know, I'm going to keep it to myself and, you know, just, it is what it is. But there was a lot worse things than catching the same fish twice that went on. So,
yeah. And what I'll say is I commend you for one, just being willing to talk about it. Some guys will try to stray away and that sort of thing. You're like, we talked about it for the show and you're like, let's talk about it. Let's get it. Cause your POV hasn't been able to be aired out. And I'll say in the same line of it, I commend Spencer Schofield. The show he did was out dangerous with Trey and Chris was amazing.
He did a good job explaining it out there too. And that's, you know, that's the same deal. That's really why I haven't made a video or spoke on it, just because all it does to me is make the league look bad. And like that's my livelihood. So I don't want to, clear myself. I know my conscience is clear. I didn't do anything wrong, but all it does is, you know, push the blame onto the league. So that's why I didn't really want to come out and do much with it and just kind of let it blow over. But you got to clear the elephant in the room, because I've already seen the comments coming through. So let's move on and talk about something more exciting.
I just want to make one last comment on it.
Yeah.
And it doesn't even have anything to do with you, but there's a comment from Kenny C here. Kenny, I appreciate your viewpoint, man. And you're talking about catching the same fish over and over. Well, for folks that aren't from the Northeast, that have not experienced a true northern smallmouth spawn and watched a Saturday or Sunday when there's 50 boats out there and everyone's catching the same fish on a bed, it's the same thing. Those fish, if you think that fish on a bed up shallow by the boat ramp isn't getting caught 47 times in a matter of a week, sorry, but it happens.
Yeah, I'll double down on that. If you really want to see that happen, just come come book a day with me on the water and we'll go sit and watch boats do the rounds on smallmouth beds. And you'll see the same smallmouth get caught 15 times in the same day by 15 different boats.
Like, we're not saying it's
not
right or anything, but it's like if the argument of that fish can't get caught four times in a day and be in it damaging them. Like, I'm not saying it's not going to damage them, but like, They're going to be fine. They go through this every year.
Poor things.
Yes.
I know. I feel for them for sure.
Yeah. Let's get into it, because we actually have a good comment here of with the MLF rules. We're going to go through a couple of them. But like the biggest one that I think hit everybody pretty hard was going down to 50 anglers. And how does that average work? Things like that. From Bobby Colson, he wanted to ask, does your 2023 factor into your average or your scale of where you stand?
Yes. So my understanding is you can't have an average until you fish 2 years. So this was my first year on the Bass Pro Tour this year. So technically I don't have an angler of the year average. Mm-hmm. So when we got the list of the current standings, I wasn't in the list. I was kind of listed below it, and it's like rookie number one based on 2023 standings. It just kind of listed them. So basically the way it was explained to me is after you fish your second season, that, you know, you take that year's points and the 23. So I'll take 23 and 24 year and add my two finishes together. So like I finished first this year, say I finish 23rd next year. Okay. We'll add those together. That'd be 24 divided by two. My average will be 12. So that's how it was explained to me. Now, for guys who have fished 3 years, once you fish a third year, you get to drop your lowest finish. Okay. So it kind of gets a little tricky once you fish there. And then once you fish 6 years, so actually next year will be the sixth year of the Bass Pro Tour. Guys who have fished all 6 years get to use their best four of those six for their average and drop their two worst. So it gets a little convoluted and, you know, trying to figure out from the outside looking in on, you know, what people's averages are going to be. But that's how it was explained to me as far as, you know, choosing the average AOI finish to make the top 35 that will qualify for the 50-man field, which that's some big news there.
I do have a point here real fast. I have actually more of a question, though, as well as a point. It's like, why wouldn't they make everybody equal and just do a two-year rolling average, right? Like, why make it so complicated? And I know Bass had a lot of issues with this in the past as well with guys on, like, if you took everyone on a two-year average, some people would still be there, and then they started doing like 3 and 5 year averages, and people got the boot that probably shouldn't have, and other people stayed. So why wouldn't they just make it flat across the board for everyone?
I can't answer that. I really don't have a good answer for that. Yeah. You know, like I said, I'm new to the Bass Pro Tour this year, so I'm just trying to figure things out. And, you know, the guys that have been there from the beginning, they probably should get, you know, more tournament or more years to factor into their average, just because they've been there longer, they've sacrificed more, so they've kind of earned that. But
yeah, it's above our pay grade, Andy.
Exactly. It's above all of our pay grades.
Fishes for him, we talk about the fish he fishes for, and they make the rules.
It's just a simple question, right?
Yeah, like, no, I'm not against it, but
it's like, why can't it be equal for everyone? Like,
yeah, I completely agree. I just, part of me is like, yeah, I would love to always keep it that way. But at the end of the day, I remember that these organizations are a business. And if there's, when you have names in a league longer, those names attract a community. The community grows the longer they're there. And the longer they're there, the more people watching, means more money, more ratings, more views. Like, so, like, I get it, but at the same point in time.
Four hockey teams at the end of his career playing four seasons and, like, eight games a year just because it puts people in the stands. So. Yeah.
Ever watch Moneyball? The reason they got the old guys because it helps season ticket sales.
Yamir Yager is still playing over in Europe because of it.
Is he really?
Oh, yeah. He's playing another year.
Oh, my God.
Guy's a dinosaur.
You still got the mullet?
Oh, yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, you probably still can't get the puck from him either. He's just an animal with it.
That's a great way of looking at it, actually, here from Hellebass, our boy Rich. Same way teachers get tenured. Yeah. I can see both sides, though. I can see what you're saying, where if, like, if you want the best of the best, I think if you're going to make a trail where money was not part of a variable for it and you wanted the best of the best, I think that would make sense to have the rolling 2 year, regardless of how long you were there.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah, so, I mean, at the end of the day, it's, if we want it to be a sport, it has to be performance based. So there has to be some sort of cut, you know, of the bottom of the standings. If we want it to be considered a sport and, you know, to be the highest level of the sport, you got to have it be performance based.
Mm-hmm.
So there's got to be some sort of system like that. And I don't know what's right or wrong. And, you know, like I said, there was a lot dropped on us there last week whenever all this came out. So it was kind of a lot to take in and still kind of processing it all and trying to figure out exactly what the best move here is. You know, kind of a thing that I think is really getting overlooked for next season. Everyone wants to jump to 2025 where the cutting the field down to 50 anglers. But for next season, we're back to every fish counts, which they're kind of getting swept under the rug because all the attention's been going to the field cutting. But, you know, we can kind of get into all of that here. But, like, the every fish counts, I think, is really going to change things up next year. Definitely the way the schedule lays out, as soon as I saw it and realized that we're going back to every fish counts, you know, it's really going to change some tournaments. Like, for instance, the St. Lawrence River at the end of the year, like, it's going to fish totally different on an every fish counts format than it would a five fish format.
Yeah, and they won't be spawning there, so you guys won't have that issue.
Nope.
Smart by the BPT and MLF to make it a non-spawning derby, because I'm sure there would have been a whole lot of hate mail coming.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. Do you think someone's just going to find one of those shoals in the river that has 2 million two-pounders on it and just run away with the
thing? I know. That's what I'm worried about, you know, like thinking about that turn. I mean, we're a long ways away from that. Yeah. Don't get me wrong. But, like, that was one of the first things that popped into my head when I seen the Every Fish Counts was, like, it's totally going to change that because, you know, like, typically if you're going for – big ones, you're not catching that many throughout the day. You know, you're catching 7 to 10, 4 to 5 pounders, and you could catch a bunch of, you know, 2 pounders. So it'll kind of depend on what the minimum is. That would be cool one to see the minimum bumped up to like 3 pounds or something. Yeah. That way it would kind of avoid that and force you to fish for bigger fish. But I don't know. It'll be interesting for sure.
Or just find a school of 3 pounders and have a time.
Like, yeah, I mean, that too. But
largemouth fishing might win that.
Yeah.
That's possible too. That's another option, but you know I'm not doing that. So
why not? Come on.
You don't know
have some fun, right? No,
I'm not gonna do that.
That's the crazy thing though. If they made that like a 2 pound limit, could you imagine the guy where it's like one guy catches a 5 pounder, but in the time it took him to catch that 5 pounder, some other guy caught 3 2 pounders, so it didn't even mean crap.
Exactly. That's gonna be the game for sure. Yeah. It's gonna be a numbers game and have to figure that out. But
so like for, said, from
we're a long ways from that.
Yeah. For your POV, where you stand as an angler, do you like? We're gonna come at it from an angler standpoint, but can also come back from like a fan consumer standpoint. Where do you stand on all? Every fish counts. Do you like it? Do you not like it? Do you just kind of roll with whatever's given to you?
I kind of just roll with whatever's given to me. You know, I've always been the type of guy that just say, give me the rules, give me the schedule. And, you know, I'm just going to go fishing. I don't want to complain about anything. I don't want any of the drama. I just want to know where we're going, what the rules are, and let's go catch bass. Because at the end of the day, it's just about catching the bass that week, whether it's catching 5 big ones or catching a lot of 2 pounders, you know, whatever the rules are, just give me them and let's go fishing. That's where I stand on that. You know, looking back, you know, obviously this year things went pretty well for me with the 5 fish. So like, I'm kind of, can't argue with the results this year, but on the other hand, I'm really excited to try the every fish format. Last year going into it, I was really looking forward to the every fish counts format. So I'm excited about it for sure.
Yeah, because now you don't have to focus on catching the biggest bass possible. You just have to focus on catching as many. Like,
I just like fishing and catching fish, and that's fun to me. And you know, the biggest thing is it's different. So it differentiates MLF. And I think that's good for the sport, and I think that's good for the viewership. That was the reasoning they gave us in the change this year, was they said that the viewership, the total unique viewers increased, but the average watch time dropped because people would just click on live and check the leaderboard and see, oh, everyone has five, you know. There's really not much action going on as far as calling up. It would take a really big fish. Whereas the Every Fish Counts format, you can't ever take your eyes off alive. You know, there's always people catching fish and jumping up the leaderboard. So that was the reasoning for that. And I think that will be good in the long run, just to, you know, kind of expand the viewership and get to a new fan base. And really, from what the way they've presented it to us, that's kind of what this whole change is about. You know, obviously the economy isn't the best right now, and really the whole country, not just the bass fishing world, but the fishing industry, the economy is pretty tough, and you know that the sponsors are hurting for money, so it's just the entire economy is hurting. So there had to be some changes, and that the whole MLF business plan was designed off of TV. Mm-hmm. And you guys know, we're young guys. Do you guys even have cable? I mean, the TV side of things is on the downward trend, and the live streaming's on the way up. So they've kind of rebranded and re-strategized the business plan to more of a live stream-based product, and still keeping the TV product, but more of a live stream-based product going forward. And that's kind of the gist of things that I've got from the last couple meetings that we've had.
So the one thing that drives me nuts, and there's a few people, we have some group chats and stuff, we talk about this stuff at length because we're nerds of the sport, you know, we're big fans. Yeah. We keep up with everything. You've heard it countless times too. Bass fishing, or the fishing industry in general, is always 10-15 years behind every freaking thing else.
Yeah.
If the NFL goes to YouTube TV, logic has it, go to YouTube. I'm surprised one of the trails, like NPFL did it, but they stopped it last year, going live on YouTube. I feel like the first league that stays consistent on YouTube,
I know,
will, one, find success, but especially from the long term. But I think the reason why they won't, and again, this is theory, do not quote me on this, but yeah, I think the reason they won't is because it's legitimate viewership numbers that are available for the public. Whereas now, like through TV ratings, you can kind of play with that for sponsorship.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So
I see where you're going with that. And you know, that as part of the game that we play, I guess.
But like, say for example, for for Major League Fishing, obviously they're live on the website, things like that, and it's obviously played on TV at a later date, right? The shows are aired like weeks or months later. What is the hurt in double dipping live? Because not everyone's going to watch on a website, you know what I mean? Like live on YouTube, or like say for bass, like if the contract allows you to dual stream on YouTube with FS1, if there's nothing that contractually says you can't, what's the hurt? You know what I mean? Like in an added viewership number, at least at that point, that you can add to it. I don't know.
It's above our pay grade. It's probably some contractual thing where they can't stream it in multiple places.
And think with us too, from a fishing standpoint, we're trying to attract the younger audience, right? Where's the younger audience watching?
Exactly. Yeah.
Facebook.
Yep.
Why haven't they done it yet?
They're all live streaming, and I think that is the plan. You know, that was definitely the 5-year plan that Boyd was talking about, was leaning more towards that, more live stream type products. And I think all things are good and heading in that direction. You know, obviously it's hard to make these changes here the next couple of years, like the payouts dropping a little bit next year. And you know, then like we talked about heading into 2025, they want to So the main goal that I got out of everything that MLF has presented to us is they want to shorten the event, the total length of the event from the 6-day tournament to a 4-day tournament. In order to do that, they have to trim the field down, because right now we have 80 guys total, but we only fish 40 per day. So actually in 2025, we'll be fishing more anglers per day, or MLF will be fishing more anglers per day with 50 rather than 40. So that, because it'd only be a 4-day tournament. So that was the main goal that I got out of them, is they want to shorten the tournament to a 4-day tournament. And in order to do that, they haven't quite figured out how to get all 80 guys in that 4-day format with the boat officials, the stat units, the cameras, all that.
Oh, yeah.
Now, you know, there's been some talks the last couple of days of trying to propose something to, you know, work with that, but not sure how that's all going to play out. But that was the main goal, I think, out of the whole thing, was they want to make it a 4-day tournament. And in order to do that and properly cover the field and have enough officials and enough stat units and all that stuff, they got to trim the field down to 50 guys.
So I know, like, your guys as marshals, they or boat officials, they go through a whole training, don't they?
Yes. So this year, they had more regional based officials, where, you know, there'd be a group of guys from, say, New York that did, you know, the couple tournaments that were in the north. And yeah, they have a full 8-hour day of training, and then another, I think, 4 hours of like testing and, you know, weighing fish and making sure they know how to do everything on the iPads and everything. So they're very well trained officials, and they, you know, they definitely know what's going on in the boat. They know the rules and know how to do everything, but that's just, you know, such an added expense to have another 40 officials per day, you know, if we were to fish 80 for 4 days. So I understand the hurdle on that side of things, but you know, obviously it's hard and it's a big cut. You know, I'm not sure that we've seen a cut of a top level tournament trail like this in a long time, for sure. You know, I listened to something this morning that, you know, this had kind of happened back in the 2000s when the Elite Series started. There was like the top 150s, and they basically said, we're going to 100, you know, the bottom 50 guys are cut. And, you know, nobody wants to talk about that now, of course, but
yeah,
everything that's happening has happened before.
Yeah. I totally get it from a business end, because when you do that, less in the day, it's less staff you have to hold on site. So less you're paying that, but less you're paying in food and lodging, things like that. And I get that. And I when I was thinking about it, I'm like, what's the difference if you have 80 then? Because, like, I mean, other trails compete with that. But I neglected the idea of the boat officials. But yeah. I feel like, though, like, so the Champions Tour out in Minnesota, they use like local youth and high school angles. And I understand that when you guys are competing for that much money, mm-hmm. you want like legitimate people. But there's got to be a running list. Like, say if you paid everybody $100, like, if I'm either an old timer, retired, or if I'm a college or high school kid that is, you know, of age to go out in that boat, say 18 up, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm taking $100 to go get in the boat with Matt Becker and weigh his fish. You know what I mean? Because, like, at the end of the day, like, I don't know. I totally get it, but
that's where I'm at on it. But obviously, it's a business at the end of the day, and they have their reasonings, and, you know, they're running a business just like we are, as, you know, individuals. So I believe what they're saying. I don't think they're trying to pull a fast one on us by any means. Like, I understand the economy's tough right now, and everything they've explained to us has makes sense if you really stop and think about it and don't just let your emotions take over and, you know, get extremely upset about it. You know, right. Obviously it's a tough situation, and I really feel bad for a lot of my buddies and a lot of people in that situation that are, you know, looking down the barrel, possibly getting cut. You know, it just the way that it all happened, I'm not really a fan of how it was presented and how they let us know, you know, 2 weeks before our entry fees are due, and just the way all of it went down, I'm not really a fan of. I feel like this has been in the works for a while, and they definitely could have, you know, kept us in the loop and, you know, kind of let us start chewing on this a little bit earlier than a couple weeks before the entry deadline. But,
two things to that. Well, sorry, three things to that. One is, you guys have something that says like you can't compete or you can't leave your event or something like that for another tournament, correct?
So we have angler talent promotion contracts and angler agreements. I think that's what they're called. But so in there is a clause or a rule or whatever you want to call it that says you cannot miss a MLF tournament that you're qualified for to fish another tournament. Like you can miss it for, you know,
yeah,
a personal reason or if, you know, emergency happened. But if you're leaving an MLF tournament that you're scheduled to fish to go fish a Bass Open, then I'm not sure what the penalty is, but it's in the rule that says you will be penalized or fined or suspended. I'm not sure.
I want to say I was told you're basically done for the year.
Okay.
Some of that term, which if that's true, again, that's not 100%. That's just what I was told. If that's true, if you go say and you want to go join the Opens next year, you know, say like, say if you're a guy that's, you know, high 60s, something like that, you know, right, chances of you trying to qualify are not good. And you go, I'm going to go try to fish the Opens next year, finish out my last season on the BPT. But now you can't because you'd be, because the first Bassmaster Open conflicts with the first
right team. Right.
So it's like, now it's like, okay, now I have to either stick it out in the BPT or take my chances, go to the Opens during the heat of sponsor talks and potentially take less money because some companies operate, if you're not on the top level, don't get as much money sort of deal. A great topic for Business from the Bass Boat. For when Deacon's listening.
It's a tough situation for sure.
Really tough.
It's a tough situation and a tough decision. But you know, the way they're coming up with the 50-man field is so it's to the top 35 in career angler of the year average, and then top 10 in the angler of the year standings for the 2024 season who aren't already qualified in that top 35. So you could take an angler that say he is in 60th place in career average, but he finishes in say 15th place next year in the angler of the year standings. Surely there'll be five guys ahead of him that already qualified in the top 35 average. So he would get the invite from that top 10. So I foresee that number probably falling down into the 20s, to be totally honest, you know, so somebody could finish in the 20s in the angler of the year standings and qualify through that top 10 of people who aren't already in by the average.
Oh, like a drop down?
Yeah. So they take the average first and then pull those guys off of the 2024 AOI standings and then take the top 10 that are left. Yeah. And that gets us to 45 and then bringing up five from the invitationals.
So that was going to be another question. How do you feel about only taking five? Invite. Yeah. If you're competing to get on the PPT and you know that out of like 200 boats, you only have five spots.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know it going into the beginning of the year. So
I guess, you know, it's only four more than the Open. So it's
not as four less. Four less. But if you look at it percentage wise, it's still the same as it's been, you know, because for instance, the Bass Pro Tour field was 80 anglers this year and they took the top eight in the points from the invitational. So I guess they're trying to keep it at that 10% qualify up and 10% drop out. But I mean, it's definitely a tough road, but we kind of touched on it earlier. At the end of the day, if we want it to be a sport, it's got to be performance based. You know, you got to be at the top of the standings in order to move up, and in order to stay at the top level, you got to perform at the top level. So it's just like any other sport. You know, we're talking about hockey. If somebody comes up from the minors and has a couple bad games, they're getting back down to the minors. And some guys, if they're not playing good in the minors, they're not ever going to get their chance in the NHL. So if we want bass fishing to be considered a sport to the average person, it has to be performance-based like that.
Completely agree. Yeah. I will say it is tough, though, for the rookies this year.
Absolutely. So that was one thing I was probably the most personally upset with, just because one, that's the way I qualified. You know, I came up through the invitational, so I have a direct.
Yeah, you went through that route. You went through the gauntlet.
Yes, I went through that route, so I know what those guys are feeling right now. And a lot of them are my buddies. Like I fished with them for the last 6 years on the FLW tour and the pro circuit and everything. So I know what they're going through. I understand all of them. And they're definitely in the toughest position out of all, because they're getting thrown into a new league, a new format, you know, new anglers, all those things. And they got to finish. They're fishing for 10 spots. So there's 7 new guys coming up, and they're only 10 spots available to keep those 7 new guys. So that I'm definitely not a fan of. And you know, I'm not sure what can be done about that. Again, you know,
it's like where goes the 2-year average, right? Like it's back to the 2-year average thing. Why don't they get a 2-year average?
Yeah. Well, it's their first year. So like, it's a tough situation for them for sure. And I definitely feel for those guys. I feel for everybody. I mean, it's a tough time in the sport for sure. And it's a big change. You know, there's, I was looking at the Angler of the Year average list the other day, and you know, there's a lot of guys that I grew up watching that are on that list that, you know, are below the projected cut right now. And like, I feel for those guys that, you know, this may end some careers, and that's just, you know, it's horrible to think about. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's a business decision from MLF. And,
yeah, I think if you are out of that guaranteed cut and you don't know what your future looks like, and you've been around the sport for a while, you don't have it yet, make a goddamn YouTube channel.
Exactly. So we're all individual brands, and you know, MLF is a platform that we use. So at the end of the day, we are customers of MLF. Like, we pay MLF to fish the tournaments, so we're paying to use their platform to expose ourselves. So if there's a way you can do that without using MLF, like social media, YouTube, all that kind of stuff, I mean, definitely you want to be involved in that, and just kind of, you know, increases your value and your brand and everything. So
yeah,
I'm definitely going to be focused on all of it. You know, obviously I want to make sure I catch some fish next year and finish in there. So like we talked about, you know, winning Angler of the Year this year definitely helps going into next year, just because, you know, I still have to do well. You know, honestly, I think it's going to take about a 30th place average to make that top 35. I think that's what it's looking like based on the points, maybe a little less. So by that math, I have to finish, you know, above 60th place in the points next year to ensure that my average is, you know, below 30. So
that's the lowest you can go is 60.
I think so. Just, you know, speculating right now, but obviously we want to make sure that we catch a bunch of fish next year and get up there and get the invite. And, you know, I'm committed to MLF at this point, so I'm going to ride it out, and hopefully we can bring this sport to a new level with the, if the field stays at 50 guys and, see what happens. But It's definitely a tough deal for a lot of people, and I feel for them.
Well, especially when you, I mean, like you're a rookie or you're a guy that's on the chopping block, and you pull up to that first tournament of the year, and it's you, and it's Michael Neal, it's Justin Lucas, it's Wheeler. It's like you're looking down the line, you're like, God damn it.
I know.
It's the freaking gauntlet, man.
Yep. Yep. Yeah.
Well, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
All variables, take it out. Competition only, you know, skill level. There's no variables, money, nothing. You look at what looks scarier to you or more challenging, I should say, making a top 10 in the BPT field next year or trying to qualify for the elites, the opens next year. Which looks more challenging to you?
I mean, mathematically, the opens is going to be harder.
Right.
If you just run the numbers as far as people fishing in the tournaments versus people getting, you know, qualified or moving on or whatever you want to call it. So definitely mathematically, I would say the opens are going to be harder. And, you know, that's kind of the situation that a lot of guys are in right now is like, everyone always thinks the grass is greener or, you know, bass is better or whatever. But when you actually sit down and look at the facts, look at the payout. So we're just strictly payout. We're going the entry fees versus the money paid out. The Bass Pro Tour payout is better. There's more money paid out in the Bass Pro Tour. You can't argue that. That is a fact. So guys would leave the Bass Pro Tour, fish the opens, and then qualify to fish for the same money that they're currently fishing for. So, you know, it's just not really a smart business decision as far as payout goes. Now, you never know what sponsors are in their ear saying or anything like that. That's totally different behind the scenes. But I agree with that comment. The opens is,
it's a lot of traveling.
Yeah, especially that schedule next year. The way they're spaced out, I kind of cringed when I first saw the schedule and the
dates. A lot of people did.
I think from like innocent bystanders, like Bailey and myself were like, ooh, that one hurts. Like,
so the irony of it was I actually had a buddy that was thinking about doing the opens next year and the timing. I wish somehow I could have been screen recording the moments of this. But within like a 30-minute span, he goes, man, I think I'm really thinking about doing the opens next year. They released the schedule, and he goes, nope, maybe next year.
Yeah,
it's brutal.
Yeah, it doesn't make much financial sense when you sit down and look at the numbers and then add in the travel, like especially if someone from the Northeast with that schedule to drive back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. I mean, it's rough, and it gets expensive for sure.
The one thing it might do for the anglers who do make it is make them mentally tough. Like,
oh yeah,
from an expense standpoint, it's going to make their wallet broke.
Yeah,
you better win one of them just to cover some of your costs.
Yeah.
Because you're going to spend $50,000 just in expenses before tournament entries. So
they did some cool things. What's this comment say?
So Hellabass is asking, has Becker thought about fishing the invitationals in 2024 to double your chance to re-qualify?
I have thought about it for sure. I mean, so the way that's going to work is they're going to take, you know, five from the invitationals. So I foresee there will be a handful or maybe more of the Bass Pro Tour guys that fish the full schedule of invitationals for that reason. And, you know, that thought definitely crossed my mind. Because, you know, it's another avenue, another option to get into that top 50 field, which I feel like will be a pretty big deal. I definitely want to be a part of it, so I want to make sure I do everything in my power. As of this moment right now, I don't think I'm going to. I think I'd rather focus that time practicing for the Bass Pro Tour events and, you know, pre-practicing and doing my homework on those just to make sure that I finish inside that top, say, 60 in the point standings next year so that my average is high enough. I think that's the route I'm going to go as of right now, but I'm definitely going to fish a few of the invitationals for sure, just because I like fishing.
So I think the invitationals will be like Bass Pro Tour after hours, because like 70 of those anglers are going to fish the invitationals.
Yeah, it's possible for sure. I think you if you're fishing the full season, you were able to sign up already. I don't know. I get the dates all confused. So
yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. Let me ask you this, and obviously, if you don't know, which I don't imagine there's a concrete number. Do you think any guys are going to leave this year from the BPT?
Leave, like, yeah, I would say so.
Been ringing off the hook.
Yeah, I would say that. I don't have a number in mind, but there's definitely be some people. Anytime you get that 80 guys in one group, there's going to be some egos involved. Mm-hmm. And guys are going to think differently than everybody. So I would definitely think that, you know, there will be, you know, 5 or 10 guys that don't sign up just because of, you know, the situation that they're in, or they would rather go a different route. And, you know, I support everybody. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. But for me, I'm all in on the Bass Pro Tour.
Heck yeah. Andy, you got anything else?
No, I was just going to say, I mean, ultimately what your choice has to come down to is what you have the most confidence in and where you think you're going to succeed. And if you already have the best success that you could possibly have right on the BPT AOI Rookie of the Year, why wouldn't you just stay and ride it out and see what you can do, even though all the formats are changing? So I think you're where you're supposed to be, Matt, and I think you're going to have a good year. So,
yeah, I mean, that at the end of the day, like, we're all our own brand, our own business. So I have to make the decision that's best for me personally. And, you know, as much as it sucks and it's hard on everybody, you got to leave emotion out of it and make a logical decision what's best for me and our family. So that is the route I'm going to go for sure. Evaluate this every year. You know, I look at the payouts. I literally pull them up and compare the payouts, dollars and cents, entry fees versus payout side by side. And
yeah,
that's probably the deciding factor for me. Cause as we talked about earlier, I am still banking on tournament winnings for a decent majority or a decent chunk of my total income. So I am banking on those tournament payouts. And, you know, obviously I want to succeed in whatever tournament I fish, but, you know, I am still using that as part of my yearly income. So
yeah,
I need to put myself in the best position where the most money is paid out. And that's the, you know, what it comes down to. I'm going to make the decision that best is the best for me and my family at the end of the day.
Like the decision to move to Tennessee and leave Pennsylvania behind, right? Like, great decision. Yeah.
That's a whole nother story, but yeah, we needed to get a little more central in the country to save on some travel time and then be able to fish majority of the year and learn new things. I mean, yeah, it's been a good move for sure.
Yeah, it was going back to your comment on the payouts. I was with Keith Carson at it was at Oneida trip, and that was one of the things he was saying. He's like, he goes, look, I love to go, you know, fish, you know, the elites with John and everything and go travel that together and all that jazz. But he's like, but at the end of the day, the BPT, like me, I'm a tournament angler. I'm going to chase the best possible payout and the max amount of money that I can, you know, earn. And that's why he chose BPT. And that's why it's like, we look at that, like Keith's one of our buddies and we're like, top 10 or bust next year, buddy.
Yeah, I know. He's in a tough situation as well, you know. But it all goes back to performance. Like, it's a top-level sport, so sometimes it's not always fair for everybody, and you got to perform, and everything takes care of itself. So that's kind of been my motto the last few years, but all the drama going on over the last 5 years, really since I've started fishing, nothing has ever stayed the same 2 years in a row, whether it's a name change or an ownership change or rule change. Something has changed every single off season.
That's just life, Matt. Like, let's be real. Constant change. It's always
Something has changed every off season. Roll with the punches. And, you know, the last few years, I just kind of like, just kind of ignore it. And at the end of the day, you just got to go catch more bass and all your problems go away. So just focus on catching more bass and everything else falls into place. So that's just what I've been focused on for the last few years, is just catching more bass. Like, if something comes up, you got a problem, just catch more bass and that problem goes away.
Yeah. I mean, who knows? 2025, bass might come out and say, "Oh, well, we're doing all redfish next year, boys."
I guess we had so much success with that one event.
We're doing the whole year redfish.
Yeah.
It would be fun to see like all these guys in bass boats chasing redfish around. It'd be kind of wild.
Hey, but I would be interested in that. That sounds pretty fun. I like catching some redfish. So.
They're mean little buggers, but I guess.
I know.
I guess we can not wrap it up, but you can say it with this, right? Like, in professional bass fishing, in we talked about this in a previous episode, Bailey. It's like, if you live inside your own bubble and you like deflect out all the negativity and what everyone else is going to say and do, you're probably going to be okay. If you just worry and work on yourself.
Yeah. That, I mean, at the end of the day, that's what you got to do. I mean, you got to do what's best for you personally. You got to just focus on yourself. You got to be selfish. I know I heard Brandon Polinick say that before in some interview somewhere, like, to be a successful professional bass fisherman, you got to be selfish. Like, you got to be all about you. You have to be make the decisions based on you, based on what's best for you. So you got to do that. And he wants to see less redfish. I don't know. That was pretty cool this weekend.
Rich didn't want to see any redfish. I'll say
it would no longer be Bassmaster. It'd be Redfish Master.
I would. Yeah. If they change the rule back where you can use different boats throughout the year for the elites, Drew Cook through every spawn event would have one of those flats boat with that ladder thing on the front.
Hey, I'm all for that. I think we should be able to do whatever we can to catch a bass. So,
I mean, think about it, dude. You can bring in more potential boat sponsors.
Yep.
The ratings will go through because you don't know who's going to bring in what. You don't know how many boats Poche is going to tow around for the next year.
Yeah.
So, like, it'll be one of those deals. I mean, I would love to see it. I think that would be great, personally.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that the whole flats boats thing with the steps or the ladders, I think that would be super cool. But obviously, it's a safety issue. It becomes a safety issue when you're 10 foot up in a ladder and a 3 foot roller comes over the bedfish you're looking at.
Yeah. The tuna tower. Yeah. The, have you ever seen that clip? Speaking of redfish, have you ever seen that clip of the guy that caught that redfish standing way up in the tower and fell off and still caught the fish or whatever?
Yeah, and, like, pulled him into the water.
Yeah, like broke his rib or something like that. I mean, that's probably why they don't do it. It's the last thing they need is Rick Klun Jerry rigging a ladder all the way up there. And next thing you know, it's like, we're the reason Rick Klun is not doing
it. I know. Yeah. I mean, I understand it. It becomes a safety thing for sure. And, you know, that's with a lot of the rules that we have are safety issues, just like, you know, bringing a bunch of gas cans in the boat or whatever. Like, it's all a safety thing. I totally understand it, but it's cool to talk about at least.
Facts right here by Rich.
Says, Bailey, you won't even fish steelhead with your best friend. Why do you want to fish? Why do you want to watch redfish? I didn't say I wanted to watch redfish. It was a joke. You never know what these leagues are going to do, man.
Next, it's going to be mixed bags on, like, brackish water events. Like, if you weigh in a redfish, it will be a bonus.
Well, you can do it. They catch them on the Potomac sometimes.
Yeah. The progressive bycatch of the year, sponsored by. $5,000. Bring in a
catch. Yeah, that's another opportunity to sell a sponsor right there.
There you go. There you go, you're golden.
Yeah.
See, we're getting all these leagues ideas now.
The years wind down somewhat for you. Have you gotten? I know. Oh, you're in Tennessee now. I keep forgetting. You don't get the whole fall smallmouth thing now. You're gonna go home for a little while and say hi to some old friends.
Nope. Unfortunately, not this fall. I'm currently boatless right now. So I
got a kayak for you.
Yeah, I mean that could work, right? I might have to do something like that to scratch the itch here, but
Look at what Greg DePalma's doing. He's wreaking havoc on the kayak side.
I know. That's cool.
Way less cost expenses. Like the cost expense goes way down in the kayak, apparently. And their payouts are great for like local.
Oh, yeah. It's
ridiculous.
Hey. No gas in it. There ain't nothing wrong with it.
We'll take our $90,000 or you take struggle, a kayak. And win
I would struggle with tackle.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of guys that would like.
Simple is better. Sink.
Yeah.
I would struggle with tackle in the kayak. Just, I can't do it. I got a lot of tackle.
231 AGM to like level it out because our bows would be down in the water.
Yeah. No, but we're pretty much done for the year. So there is the MLF team series thing is still going on. And then
He's getting on you. He's a tackle.
It's just every fisherman. Yeah. It's not just.
Yeah, we had a mountain of boxes when we got home this afternoon just waiting for us.
Fantastic.
It's like a surprise because I didn't even remember ordering anything. So I got to open them all and find out what I actually ordered.
That's because you're ordering it on one of your glorious naps you take after road trips, right? Sit on the couch and then you pass on. You're like, oh, I forgot about that.
I get an idea. Yeah. Some, buy this on eBay, buy this here, order from Fish USA, order from Yamamoto, just kind of pick and choose some things here and there while we were gone. And I kind of forgot all about them until we got home and they were all piled up on the porch.
Oops.
It's almost as good as when you order something and forget you ordered it and then you find it still in the package later, like weeks later.
Yeah.
I'm like, I forgot I ordered these.
That's just every bass fisherman as well.
Yeah.
Well, dude, obviously coming up on wintertime, quote unquote off season for you guys, getting everything ready for next year. Looking into the beginning of next year, is anything that we can look forward to, keep an eye out on, anything, different coming to the YouTube channel, things like that?
Nothing comes to mind right off the bat. Obviously we're just going to keep after it, but we're going to put a lot of focus on content here over the next couple months, just, finish out the year strong. And, there's no tournaments to fish, so I'm going to have to spend my time doing something else. So we're going to spend a lot of time getting the tackle and everything dialed in. Right now is the messiest my stuff is all year long, just because especially that second half of the year, into the summer, like, I don't know if I just start getting a little lazy with tackle or, just more spread out everything and then cleaning out my boat for the year. Like, I've just got stuff piled up right now that it really bugs me. It gives me anxiety. Like, I am a organized human. I love to have everything perfectly organized, and when I don't, it bugs me. So that's my main focus here for the next couple weeks anyway, and then hopefully get back into a boat and find a few fish here soon.
One thought. Pause for a second. Andy, did you just say you are an organized human?
Organized chaos. I know where everything is, but
no, you can't put that in the same bucket. We're about to let Matt go, and I'm going to yell at you after here for saying you're an organized human.
Matt can understand this, though, right? Like, Matt doesn't have kids that I know of.
No, nope. But
literally, I'm on the water, it seems like, every single day. And I get home, I put my boat in the driveway, and I have no time to clean anything. And it's kind of just where it is. So I always know where it is, but I come home, take care of my girls, go to bed, get up and get back on the water the next day. I slightly organize it usually before a guide trip, before my clients get there, if they're late. And then it just gets piled up, but I always know where it is. So it's an organized chaos.
Yeah, that's fair. I feel like that's most guys is.
Oh, no, it's bad.
Like, if somebody went in and cleaned up your boat, you would have no idea. You wouldn't be able to find anything. But when it's a mess, you know exactly where it is.
Yep. I know where everything is in my boat right now, even though it's a mess. And I let Bailey and Rudd borrow my boat. Like,
I was just going to say, this comes back to that. We opened up his rod compartment, and Rudd was like, good Lord, I got to have a talk with this man. This is horrible.
Yeah.
It took us like 30 minutes to find the one thing we were looking for. I had to call him twice. I'm like, dude, it's not there. Where else? Like, it was like,
I had it in the boat in a couple of days. The cover was on it. I took it off for you guys that morning. Yeah, like, yeah. Just
first mistake you did, Matt, was let me borrow his boat.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably.
It came back in one piece, I suppose.
Yeah. Well, dude, for real, thank you so much for taking the time out tonight. It was a great conversation, great viewpoints from the angler's perspective on what's going on with Major League Fishing. I know there's been a lot of that going around, you know, with Spencer's episode. I know James Watson on Luke Duncan had. I'm halfway through that one. There's a lot of it going around, and I'm sure it's not the end of it, but for real, appreciate your viewpoint.
Typical off season. You're going to have some sort of drama, and it's great for you guys to be podcast hosts this time of year, just because
there's content.
A lot to talk about and a lot of interesting takes and a lot of the fans are curious and interested. So everyone's watching and listening to everything right now. So it's a good time to be in the podcast space. That's for sure. But
one of the MLF greats is watching tonight. Ms. Jackson.
I see that. That's one of the best tournament directors.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, there is no shortage of content when it comes to podcasts.
That's right.
That's the one thing though. And you know that about us is when there's drama, we like to try to stay somewhat calculated in, and we don't like to just rush in or be the people that want to spread anything that isn't true. Like we want to be able to talk about it with the facts and take a moment to breathe when stuff chaotic like that. Even though I say that in the news broke.
I was going to say, and be a place that anglers can come and talk about what's going on and not be so opinionated and allow you guys to have the open floor and talk about everything that's happening, right? Like, we just want to be neutral. We want everyone to have a voice and really just stand up for the anglers in general and let them tell their story instead of depicting what everyone else is seeing on social media and burning it to the ground. We don't want that. We want to see everybody succeed and have a successful career. So
yeah, for sure. Hopefully we cleared the air a little bit on some things here tonight. And you know, again, like it's a tough situation that Major League Fishing's going through right now. But again, I think it's a whole economy thing, not just a fishing industry thing. So it's just a tough time on everybody right now. And I think they'll get through it. I think things are looking up here in the future. And I mean, either way, I'm going to ride it out and do what's best for me each and every year. And, you know, like I said, I'll reevaluate when things change again, but as of right now, I'm committed and it's tough on a lot of guys, but again, it's if we want it to be a sport, it's got to be performance-based, you know, it's got to be the top level guys and it's got to continue to be performance based. So
yep, with you. It'll be interesting to see what happens in the next couple of years here.
But yeah, it'll be curious to see how it plays out. But
yeah, well, nonetheless, we are Matt Becker fans and we'll keep in touch, buddy. We'll
hopefully sounds good get
back on.
Nice to have me on. 2024.
Yes, see you.
All right, man. What a show.
Great show.
It was. It's so hard for humans to not jump to conclusions where I feel like it's a very hard thing. You kind of mentioned it earlier in the show too. When you see something newsworthy, like something like news or update or someone tells you something, it can be very hard to stop and not jump into a conclusion or an assumption or the first thought in your mind where it definitely pays off long-term to take a step back for at least a couple seconds and just think. What might be the other side of this? What might be actually going on? What might be before we jump through with the rumors and things like that, wait for some facts to come out where I've heard, you know, from some of the guys that we're buddies with that are like, look, this was just announced. Don't know how I feel about it yet. I'm going to wait for more things to progress before I make a decision. I feel like that is the best route of things. Not taking away. Cause I mean, there are anglers that have every damn right to be pissed about this. Like, for the rookies, I feel for them. Like that's a shitty situation. And then the guys that a couple years back made the jump that were having a great career at Bass that decided, hey, I'm going to make the leap. And then now it's like they might be giving you the boot to the street. So it's like, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think Matt makes a great point too, that he evaluates his situation every year. And I'm sure 99% of these anglers do the same exact thing. But I do have a question for you, Bailey. Do you remember the game Telephone that you played in like kindergarten or first grade or second grade, where one person will say something to one person and kind of goes around the circle, and by the time it gets back, they have to say if it's the same thing or not? Like, I feel like that's the modern day world we live in, right? Like, one person will say one thing, and then it gets so convoluted 10, 15 people down the road that nobody knows what the truth is. And really, we just need to sit down, take a second, take a step back like we had Matt on tonight, and let him tell his story. Let the person that we're trying to figure out what's going on, let them tell their story so we can actually have their side of it instead of just picking sides and burning people to the ground. It's just not, it's not right in common world that we live in.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like that game as your kids, right? You had like 15 kids and you start a message with the first one. You see,
yeah, it's called Telephone. That's what
I'm talking about. Is that what it is, Telephone?
Yeah, it's called Telephone. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, sorry, man. But nonetheless, great conversation with Matt. Always good to get him on here. And hopefully we can have him on again throughout the winter to learn more from him as an angler. I'm glad we cleared some of the air there and know that those anglers will not be put in that situation again that we talked about in the beginning of the episode.
That'd be good.
But nonetheless, I appreciate everybody that joined the show. A lot of opposing viewpoints, which we appreciate every single one of them. They are always valid in these, you know, discussions. And it just, it's good to get this stuff out and actually talk about it. Nonetheless, if you guys disagree with anything or do agree with anything, you want to talk about it, comment down below if you're on the YouTube side, or shoot us a DM, send us an email. We love any point of view that we might be missing when it comes to stuff like this. Even when it comes to just freaking fishing a buzzbait, we don't care what it is. Always reach out to us and let us know your two cents on something if we think we're missing anything or to add on to anything.
Yeah, we always appreciate and we value everyone's thoughts and opinions. So. Exactly.
But like we were saying in the beginning, a couple things to look out for. Announced today on the Business from the Bass Boat Show, as well as on social media, the giveaway that Rec Lending is putting on. $10,000 up for grabs in cash and prizes. That's super easy to get signed up for the giveaway, and a potential to win a good amount of money and some pretty dang cool prizes. Same stride, another giveaway that's going to start on Wednesday. Come join us Wednesday night live. Yes, we're doing a Wednesday night live this week with the Project Purple folks, as well as we'll have other guests that will be announced. To enter that giveaway, all you got to do is support a good cause and have a chance to win some pretty dang cool prizes there, which you'll see. We'll have a whole website and everything for you guys to go and therefore enter that. We'll share all that with you when it's it becomes Wednesday night. It'll be up on Wednesday, so we'll share that as soon as we can on social media. And of course, as we mentioned in the beginning, a bunch of huge sales going on at Bass Fishing Electronics. If you guys want to try to stock up for the season or get some new electronics, trolling motors, things of that nature, great time to do so. But Andy?
Without a doubt.
Anything else, my friend?
At this moment, no.
All right. Well, folks, appreciate y'all, and we'll see you on Wednesday. 'Well, that was an awesome show. Hope you guys enjoyed it. If you can and your app allows it, please leave us a rating and review. It really helps us get seen more, which allows us to access more time and more variables to be able to bring to the show to make it better for you guys. So hope you enjoyed it. And if you did and you liked some of the things we talked about in this episode and want to check out our show partners, all of that is in every single show description. You can click down there. It's got all of our discount codes, all of our links to our show partners, where you guys can go and support the people that support this show and help us make this show happen. And of course, this show does not happen without you guys. You guys know we appreciate you. You're the Searsanga fam. You're the reason we're here. Appreciate y'all. And we'll see y'all on the next one.